I guess all of us go through tough times, difficult times in life, hopelessness despite resources and even people around, people with us and around us. Normally people face the stress of life and just keep plowing through day after day. Occasionally the pressure gets to them and they crack, crumble and crash. And somebody said, the troubles can make you or they can break you. For many, hopelessness has become their existence. It's all this at this point that we must try to discover how the pressure of life can help us find hope instead of despair. Today, basically, we are looking at the theme of hope amidst despair is in God, based on today's Old Testament reading, which has been read to us by Kate from Exodus chapter 14. The Lord brings us hope amidst despair. The book was written by Moses. In fact, the first five books of the Old Testament written by Moses, as we believe. A common view is that the Exodus occurred around 4,000 years ago when Ramses II was the Pharaoh of Egypt. After 400 years of slavery to Egypt, the Jewish people were free. Over 2 million slaves escaped from one of the most highly fortified nations in the whole world. It's a miracle. In fact, it was a series of miracles, one after the other. We can explain all the miracles in the Bible. We can have a pair of scissors in our hand and cut which we don't like, which most of the people do in this world. Now, the whole event of Exodus has a profound significance for two reasons. First of all, it had national significance for the people we call Israel. This was the beginning of their national history. This was when they got their political freedom. This is when they became a sovereign nation in their own right. And though they did not have a land yet, they were now a people, a nation with a name of their own, the name Israel. This was, in fact, the birth of the nation of Israel. But it also has a spiritual significance, not just the national significance, because this was when they discovered that their God was the God who made the whole universe. They actually came to believe that their God was more powerful than all the gods of Egypt put together. By the way, the Egyptians believed in more than 200 gods. Ultimately, the Israelites would realize that their God was the only God that existed. And most of the prophets, especially Isaiah, keep emphasizing that there is no God beside me. But at this stage, they were to discover that their God was more powerful than every other God, that he was the supreme God. Our reading starts with verse 19 of chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, where we see that the Israelites were caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. God led them into the valley and brought them to this place with a purpose. If you read a couple of verses of the chapter 14 before this, it was God's purpose. Trapped between the mountain and the sea, Pharaoh thought that the Israelites had made a foolish move, because they thought these are a bunch of slaves. They don't have any geographical knowledge. They will never escape from us. But Can God make a wrong move in your life when you trust God wholeheartedly? When we are perplexed, troubled, disturbed, we give up hope. God tells us and reminds us that I am with you. The most beautiful thing about the name Yahweh, Yehovah, is that I am who I am. God didn't say, I was who I was, or I will be, but present tense, I am with you. The Hebrews could only think that they were between the devil and the deep blue sea, and this bid for freedom was getting ready to end very badly for them. They were both terrified and angry. We can understand that. I mean, there they are, and here comes the might of the Egyptian army, probably the mightiest military force on the face of the earth at that time. They had mountains on both sides. They have the Egyptians coming after them, and they have only the Red Sea ahead. Here they are, literally trapped. They were angry with Moses. They bitterly complained to Moses for the first, but certainly not the last time, about leading them out of Egypt. You know, human nature looks at the situation, immediately assumes the worst, and goes to pieces. That's what we do sometimes. St. Paul in today's epistle reading tells us how to manage our different apprehensions about indifferent things. He exhorts the community of house churches in Rome to avoid fighting over non-essential matters. In a world of danger, we are called to watch out for others. Paul calls us to welcome those with whom we have differences and not to judge each other. But they judged Moses. I feel sorry for Moses, for this is just the beginning of what he is going to have to put up with for 40 years in the wilderness. What would Moses do in this situation? But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand firm and see the deliverance that Yahweh has in store for you today. Yahweh will fight for you. All you have to do is keep calm. You will never see these Egyptians again. Now, I have a feeling that Moses said all this by faith. He couldn't see this, but he said it. It's like a prophecy which will happen within a short time. I believe he wanted to strengthen his people, and all he could do was to say these words with as strong a conviction as he could muster, trusting the Lord and handing over the responsibility to God. He didn't say, I will do something for you. Instead, he said, the Lord will fight for you, laying his burden on the Lord. If you read chapter 14 of the book of Exodus carefully, you will notice it's only after Moses said these words, then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. God, in fact, uses a wonderful combination of God's divine providence and human actions to make a way forward for his people where there seems to be none. God wants to use each one of us in the same manner. I wonder why did Jesus said to the people who were outside Lazarus' tomb, take away the stone. If he could command Lazarus, who had been died for 4 days, he could have removed the stone with his word. But he said, remove the stone. We are called to remove the stone, called to cooperate with the divine creative and sustaining action always demand human response. It also serves as a reminder that God never abandoned God's people, even as they walked in dark valleys and that frightened them. God graciously both guides and protects God's people. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." Dear friends, God has a plan for every single dead end that you seem to come to. God has a specific purpose for all of us, but we doubt that. We doubt that because we can't see it. But faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is exactly what Moses did. For the Israelites, it looked like it was the end. It was all over, but it wasn't. God always has a plan. God always has a specific plan, and you are His child. Jeremiah, it's a beautiful verse. I know many of you love this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I like what Moses said to the Israelites. "Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. For the Lord sees not as humans see." The Israelites thought that they would be trapped, while in reality it was Egypt which was being drawn into a trap, and it was going to be their end. The Egyptians pursued their former slaves, wondering how all those bricks were going to get made now, and how could we have let those people leave. And in spite of the horrific night of death of their firstborn, their greed overcame them. This is exactly what happened to the unforgiving slave in our parable this morning. His greed came over him. The destruction of Egypt showed the end result of an economy built on forced labor, exploitation, and domination. The Egyptians then knew that Yahweh was God of all the earth. So often in the midst of some trial, we totally misread it and we blame God. But God always has a plan. God always has a purpose for our life. When rough waters lie ahead, we often panic and get anxious. We don't like to wait, and feelings of loneliness and fear consume us. Fear paralyzes us. Moses told his people that the Lord will fight for you, but you have to be calm. You have to be calm. In other words, following the Lord requires not only trust but patience. The bridge will open. The way will be clear, but some waiting is required. Our text says, the Israelites went into the sea on dry ground. They walked on dry ground. It wasn't even muddy. It was perfectly dry ground. And it ends with beautiful words. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. You know, when you are under the Lord's divine authority and guidance, there can be no obstacle which cannot be overcome. They feared the Lord. A good start. Fear not is the most common command in Scripture. Fear God is second. But it's not fear about panic and terror. It's about respect and reverence. We just sang in our first hymn, "Fear Him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear." When you fear the Lord, He guides your path. Trusting the Lord is a daily decision. You may be saved eternally by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But trusting the Lord is a daily decision. And that is the heart of the Christian journey. Trusting Him that He will get us into the promised land. In the name of God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.